Anyways, I think what I'm going to share is going to tie in to what Joel shared on. It's in Romans 12, if you turn there. And before I get started, I want to talk about the body, the human body. The human body, I was just looking up how many, I'm not a biologist. I did biology 11. I tell my students at school, you guys probably know more biology than I do. And some of you here, you can correct me after. I know some people know more about the body for sure than me. And there's a few others that have done a lot of their own studying. But I was looking up, how many body systems are there? I was like, was there five or six? I'm like, there's more than double. I was like, there's so many. There's so many parts to the body. You think about the muscular system and how it works, the skeletal system and how it works. And yet those two have to connect somehow, and there's tendons that help them connect together. So when this muscle contracts, this bone moves, elbow moves, and it all functions. What about the nervous system? I read about a system, I think I heard of it. I don't even think I could pronounce it. Endocrine system? I mean, I got systems here that I don't even know I got. They're all working together, right? The body's extremely complex. You think about somebody touching something hot. What's that doing? Well, there's nerves there. And all of a sudden, the brain is like, there's a problem. And all of a sudden, it's like muscles are contracting, tendons are pulling, everything's functioning. All these parts have a purpose. Imagine if just the one tendon was broken. All of a sudden, the response wouldn't be like this. It would all of a sudden be like this. Like, it'd be quite a different response, wouldn't it? I don't even know if that one would work. You might know that. Something might not be connected, right? Every part, all these parts have a part to play in the body functioning properly. And so I was going to look at this in Romans 12. Some of you didn't get to make it to Brother Frank's memorial, but it was very interesting. When it started, the memorial started with the recording of him reading all of Romans 12 at his own memorial. It was quite nice to hear his voice again. But he really liked this translation. And when he read it, I was like, oh, there's a few verses that kind of said it a little bit differently, and they kind of stuck out to me. And Laurel and I went home, and we didn't remember the translation that he'd read. And so we were looking at, what version did he read? And so we had to contact one of his kids, and we found out the exact version, and so we could find it. But if you look in Romans 12, verse 3, it says, this is Paul speaking to the church in Romans. He said, as your spiritual teacher, I give you this piece of advice to each one of you. Joel already read verse 1 and 2. Many of us know them. Don't cherish exaggerated ideas of yourself or your importance, but try to have a sane estimate of your capabilities by the light of the faith that God has given you all. For just as you have many members in one physical body, and those members differ in their function, so we, though many in number, compose one body in Christ and are all members of one another. Through the grace of God, we have different gifts. If our gift is preaching, let us preach to the limit of our vision. If it is serving others, let us concentrate on our service. If it is teaching, let us give all we have to our teaching. And if our gift be the stimulating of the faith of others, let us set ourselves to it. Let the man who's called to give freely. Let the man who wields authority think of his responsibility, and let the man who feels sympathy for his fellows act cheerfully. So we have this natural body which has many parts, and every part has a function. In the same way, saying the body, the church, God's body, is one body, and there's many members in one body that make up the body of Christ. He himself, it says in another verse, is the head. Remember, when we touch something hot, that nervous system connects to the brain, and that brain is functioning and telling all the other parts how to function, right? When one part gets hurt, boom, the brain is saying, man, I cut my finger the day at work, minor paper cut, but all of a sudden it's like dripping, and the other hand is over there, and I'm having to somehow stop this one and open a Band-Aid. Like, it's all functioning through the head. So we all have a part, but we're all connected to the head. We're listening. That's how we know how to function properly as a body. And so I'm going to come back to some of what was shared, but I want to keep reading for a moment. I want to read this. It says here, verse 9, it says, let us have no imitation Christian love. Let us have a genuine break with evil and real devotion to good. Let us have real warm affection for one another as between brothers, and a willingness to let the other men have the credit. Let us not allow slackness to spoil our work, or let us keep the fires of the Spirit burning as we do our work for God. That verse there kind of struck me. Let us not allow slackness to spoil our work. Think of it. We all have a specific task in the body. And some people think, well, I'm not sure what it is. I know some people think that way. Believe me, you have a gift. And that gift is extremely important to the body. Some parts of the body, we don't ever see them. But they're very needed. And it says something here. Some of us, we know what our gifts are. If we don't know, ask. God will show us. But either way, there's something here. It says, let us not allow slackness to spoil our work. Slackness gets in the way of us performing our function in the body. I was thinking, what is it? What does it mean to keep the fire, the fires burning? Well, how do we avoid that? Slackness. What does that mean? To be lazy. Another word it said was slothfulness. When I think of a sloth, kids, you've seen that three-clawed sloth, right? They move so slow. They're not really doing it with all their might, right? That's what it's saying. We don't want to be like a sloth. It's going to spoil our function in the body. We're not going to be doing our part. The function ain't going to work that well. I got something going underneath the bottom of my knee. I think it's some tendon or something. All of a sudden, it's like, man, I'm kind of limping. The body of Christ limps when we're not performing our function. But part of that is dependent upon us. Are we being lazy? Lazy, number one, are we seeking God first? Are we putting Him first? And this, I'm speaking to myself. Are we seeking Him first each morning? Each day, when we get up, Lord, this is the day You've made. I want to bring glory to You. Lord, use this body. Use this mind. Use these eyes. Use my strength. I want to use it for You. Lord, show me this day what that looks like. Right? So we want to seek Him first. That's important. We don't want to become lazy or like a sloth. Right? We want to keep that fire burning. And if I go back into some of these, there was a couple of these that really jumped out to me. Look what it says here back when it was talking about the body. They all, it says, and those members differ in their functions, right? But we compose one body. But look what it says here. If it is serving, let us concentrate on our service. Do you see? Not like a sloth, not lazy, but we're very focused. If our gift is serving, we're focusing on it. Right? I kind of thought that was interesting. No one else might know what you're doing. Many people don't see how those veins are pumping blood and how they're moving right now. They don't see it, but boy, is it needed, right? Some people, they sense a need and they're going to serve right away. And you and I don't all know. Maybe that one or two people that they're ministering to or serving know about it, but the rest of us, we don't know. But that's a needed part. It says, if it is teaching, let us give all we have to our teaching. Give all that we have. You see that? One's concentrating on their service. One's giving all that they have. Right? If our gift be the stimulating of faith of others, let us set ourselves to it. There's a choice. I'm going to do my part with all that I have. Lord, I'm going to really give myself to performing what you've given me this gift by your grace, and I want to use it faithfully. There's something to that. You notice how he's seeing that in each part. I like that. Let the man who's called to give, give freely. Right? So I see these things, and I was really encouraged by those things. The one that really jumped out to me was the service. Let us concentrate on our service. The man who teaches, right? Let him really give all that we have to our teaching. We can't just be lazy. What does that teaching look like? Where does it start? It doesn't start right here. There's so many places we need these things. Maybe in our home, maybe with our family, that'd be a good place to start. Right? But there's other places. When we see our brother struggling, whatever it is, a sister struggling, we're there to encourage and build up. And that one with faith, that one stuck out to me. And if our gift be the stimulating of faith of others, let us set ourselves to do it. That is so important. We think of all that Joel just shared there. What was it all dependent upon? Was faith. It's not just knowing it, but having the faith to cling to it in our time of testing or trial. And so I'm going to finish with verse 12. It says, base your happiness on your hope in Christ. I like that because in my version that I read out of normally the New King James, it says this in verse 12. It says, rejoicing in hope. That's a great way to say it too, but this one brought a little new depth to it, I thought. Base your joy, your happiness, on your hope in Christ. What are you looking for to give you joy for each day? You know, sometimes it can be, well, I'm really looking forward to this thing that we got tickets to go to this event or that. Is that what we're looking for? What about the next day when you don't have the ticket? Well, what are you looking for? It says here, base your happiness on your hope in Christ. Do you have a hope in Christ? Do we have a hope in Christ? You know what? God loves us. He has a plan to change us into his image. He's working. God is doing an eternal work in us while we're on this earth to make us more like him, that we might be able to bring glory to him. We have a hope in him. And not only that, we have an eternal hope that one day, whether it be in the near future, maybe I'm in a car accident, or if I happen to die of old age, I have an eternal hope. Right? Let our joy or let our happiness be found or be based on the hope we have in Jesus. There's something there to that we need to focus on. When trials come, endure them patiently. How can we endure trials patiently if we don't have this hope that he's talking about, this hope in Jesus? We need to focus on the hope that we have in him. Steadfastly maintain the habit of prayer. I was encouraged by that. Are we being steadfast? I was thinking about some of the burdens I had. And I was like, man, and like, hold on. Was it yesterday or today? I was like, I need to pray about these things. Right? Sometimes we have burdens, but we're not meant to carry them on our own. God gives us a burden, but he wants us to really give it back to him through prayer. And I'm going to finish here. There's a verse here in Psalm 55, 22. I like it because it talked about burdens, and it says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. Are any of you burdened? Is anyone burdened? What are you doing with your burden? We got to, through prayer, bring it back to Jesus. It says, and he will sustain us, right? He shall never permit the righteous to be moved or shaken. How many of us have been shaken when we start to feel the burdens of life or the cares or the trials we're going through? We start to be shaken. Well, are we taking it truly? Are we giving that burden back to him? I think for myself, if we're being shaken, we're probably not doing that the way we ought. And so we want to be faithful to maintain the habit of prayer, right? Having communion, fellowship, communicating, casting our burdens, bringing them to Jesus, listening to him, right? It comes back to that relationship with him. Anyways, a few things I was encouraged by. But this is a body, that, right? We have this natural example that he's given us. It's so complex. It's so complex. But yet, it's a picture of the spiritual body. So if you ever think, well, my part's not important, the devil's trying to discourage you and deceive you. Your part's extremely important. And if you're not sure what it is, say, God, show me. And you know what? He will make it clear to you over time. And when he puts little things across your path, little opportunities to teach one of your children or maybe an opportunity to help someone, take it up and do it. And I think as you do that, you'll become really clear what your gift is. Right? Sometimes at first we're not as sure. It doesn't mean that we don't do those other things, but there's sometimes a specific gift he has given each one of us. And when we find it, we want to be very faithful to use it. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, I ask you to help us not to be slack, Lord, not to be lazy, but to be diligent, Lord, to, number one, seek you and put you first, and to be looking to use the gift that you've given us to be a blessing, Lord, that the body might function as it ought, that it'd be a healthy body, not a lame one, one that would be able to function properly. Lord, I thank you that we have this gift to be part of your body. And I ask, Lord, that you'd help each one of us to be seeking to listen to you, the head, the one that allows every function, every body part to function properly together. In Jesus' name, amen.